from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
And right now in the Afternoon Edition, we're following breaking news. A tragic day for the Oakland Fire Department mourning the loss of one of their own, a third-generation firefighter who drowned at a San Diego beach. Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Yamamoto. In the last hour, Oakland's fire chief speaking out about the 25-year-old firefighter who drowned overnight at Pacific Beach. Caden Laffin graduated from the Fire Academy 5 years ago, was stationed in West Oakland. Fire Chief Damon Covington says he was in San Diego for the Firefighter Summer Olympics, and while at the beach, he got caught up in the ocean and apparently drowned early this morning.
He's a rising star in our department. He was very anxious to learn about every aspect of the fire department. He came up in a fire family. He was third generation firefighter, so he understood what the fire department and fire service is all about, and he was completely in on being the best firefighter he could be.
As the chief mentioned, Caden comes from a family of firefighters. His father, a decorated assistant fire chief, also died 4 years ago in the line of duty after suffering a heart attack. He was only 42 years old. Caden's brother is in the Fire Academy, and his mother provides peer support for the department. The chief says he will travel to San Diego today to help bring Caden home. Well, these are live pictures from Station 3 where Caden served just a short time ago. A flag was hung in his honor. Had he been working, Caden would have been responding to this warehouse fire on 24th Street in West Oakland. In fact, the chief says some of his peers learned of his death at the scene. The fire broke out just after 10 last night. You can see at one point it was completely engulfed in flames. 70 firefighters responded and worked overnight at 6 o'clock this morning. That building was still smoldering. The warehouse, which housed a roofing company, is a total loss. The cause is still under investigation, but firefighters say it started outside the building. Well, the Supreme Court just hours ago handing down a major abortion decision. The procedural ruling means the state of Idaho can allow abortions in medical emergencies, at least for now. The case focused on a clash between Idaho's near total ban and federal law, which requires hospitals that accept Medicare to provide stabilizing treatment, including abortion care, to a mother whose health is in serious risk. During those arguments in April, justices pressed the state on medical emergencies like sepsis and hemorrhaging.
Within these rare cases, there's a significant number where the woman is, her life is not in peril, but she's going to lose her reproductive organs. She's going to lose the ability to have children in the future, unless an abortion takes place.
Well, the court's ruling is expected to have implications for more than a dozen states that have adopted near total bans on abortion.
Some doctors will see this as a point of relief. It also is a very strong signal to lawmakers and also those who are not lawmakers but are working in administrative government that they should stand down.
But the court did not address the underlying question of whether the federal law trumps Idaho's law in certain circumstances, and the case is likely to return to the high court down the road. In another closely watched case, the Supreme Court rejected a $10 billion settlement to state hospitals and individual victims of the opioid crisis. This case involved the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin. Justices rejected the bankruptcy settlement because it would have shielded the Sacklers from further liability. That decision could have an impact on other mass lawsuits, including ones involving the Catholic Archdiocese and the Boy Scouts of America. Well, in just a matter of hours, President Joe Biden and former President Trump will meet on a stage in Atlanta for the very first presidential debate of 2024. Jared Hill is in Atlanta with a preview of tonight, including a set of debate rules both candidates have agreed to.
He didn't take them.
Well, Vice President,
can I be honest? It's a very...
The unforgettable chaos of the 2020 presidential debates. It's what moderators hope to avoid tonight when President Biden and former President Trump go head-to-head for the first time in 4 years. Each candidate's microphone will be muted when it's not his turn to speak, and there will be no studio audience.
The audience at home is going to be better able to make its own judgments.
Kathleen Hall Jamison heads up the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. She says research shows audience reactions can influence how at-home viewers feel about a debate.
While polls show that most voters are pretty locked in on whether they would support former President Trump or President Biden,
analysts say there's still something to learn from this debate.
A new CBS News poll finds some voters will watch to see whether the two oldest presumptive White House nominees in history have the mental and cognitive health to serve. One in five plan to watch because they're undecided.
How are they going to help the country and help the people?
Most Democratic voters want Biden to strike a forceful tone, while most Republican voters want Trump to be polite.
Well, CBS News will have complete coverage of tonight's debate starting at 5:30 Pacific time. That debate begins at 6 and is scheduled to last about 90 minutes. Oh, San Francisco's gearing up for a big weekend of Pride festivities. At this hour, police are giving an update on plans to keep people safe. Tens of thousands of people will fill the city from all across the Bay Area and the country to join in on that celebration. Our Jose Martinez got a chance to talk with people who will be the face of this year's parade.
This year, San Francisco's Pride Grand Marshals are leading the charge in celebrating diversity and inclusion.
People that look like me, who identify like me, are very rarely given the opportunity to be celebrated, and especially in the education field. So I feel really honored and really privileged to be standing here and talking to you.
Persia is one of those. She's a proud trans woman and a renowned drag artist who also serves as a teacher at Children's After School Arts Program, using her platform to advocate for representation through activities like Drag Story Hour.
Our program is so special, not just because it gives space to kids, regardless of how they identify and their families, but it also gives teachers the safe space to be themselves.
Sharing the honor of being a Grand Marshal is Rebecca Rolfe, the director of the SF LGBT Center. She's been marching since 2003 and believes that while Pride is celebrated all year long, this year holds a special significance.
We talked about there's over 500 pieces of legislation targeting the queer community being introduced across the country this year. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do, but we also need to come together to celebrate.
And one of the faces behind this celebration is Robin Adams, your go-to social media person for all things Pride related.
And we just got so much great entertainment on the main stage this year. We're very excited about Billy Porter, who's coming in, and he's just being very generous with us, and we're so grateful. And Adore Delano is going to be there, and you know, and Darcy Dollinger will be hosting the main stage, which we're so proud of because Darcy's done so much for San Francisco.
Now keep in mind that the area around Civic Center will be a party area with different stages playing all kinds of music. A weekend filled with joy, unity, and celebration awaits, and Persia is ready.
This is a great backdrop.
And ultimately, they tell me this weekend is all about sending a clear message that San Francisco will keep defending and protecting the rights of the LGBTQ community.